Hallelujah. God is a good God. Thanks for those words, Sean. Every situation, God takes in control. Amen. My Bible says nothing happens in your life, my life, and any believer's life without the knowledge of God. It didn't say approval. It didn't say recommendation. It says without the knowledge of God, meaning that God knows. Amen. And if God knows, well, that's the best thing in life. God knows everything. Amen. Good to be here. This is the last Sunday of February is the romantic month, huh? Valentine's Day. How many of you bought roses? No, never mind. It's okay. I also didn't. But don't remind me of the past. Let the past be. God is a good God. Amen. How many of you want to be different? Honestly, I'm not putting a cliche. I'm not trying to. How many of you, in the heart of yours, you cry out, Lord, make me different? Not in your looks, not in your aspirations of career, of relation, nothing to do. You just want to be different for God. Because you know why? The cry of my heart is this, make me different, not because I want to be different. Make me different because my difference can make somebody different. Think of that statement. Huh? I don't want to be different for the sake of being different. But make my difference touch somebody who may become different also. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man or woman be in Christ Jesus, you become a new creation. He didn't say a renewed. He said a new creation. Old things have gone. All the emphasis, all things become new. Are we new? Or do we have that staleness, that old, that past still lingering, that stench is still in our life, that we don't make a difference? You know, I've been a Christian a long, long time. I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. I've seen things I don't want to remember. But in that journey, I've seen something that really has inspired me inside it. When God takes somebody and changes, the change becomes real. Look at Billy Graham, man. Last week, I was in Perth, and I attended Franklin Graham's tour. And I walked up to Franklin, and I said, in 1978, I saw your dad. Your dad preached at Singapore. And till today, the stadium has never been packed since 1978. And I spoke to Franklin and talked to him, and I just said, what a powerful testimony your father had and the gospel that he brought. Lives have been changed. Has your life been changed? Today, the change has become so drastic. The church is losing the plot. The change is swinging that way, not this way. Churches and Christians speak of the word relevance, not difference. And I understand the word relevant, but I think I want more difference. Jesus didn't come to make us relevant. He came to make us what? Different. We try to be like the world to impress. John the Baptist is my hero of difference. He didn't care. The world never liked him. But he was the one who baptized the Savior. Amen? Be different. I'm not asking you to be militant. I'm not asking you to become anti-self. No, but I'm asking you as a Christian, is your life different? Is that your cry? Make me different, Lord. That when I sit in the company of friends, my difference become a sweet-smelling fragrance. When I sit in the company of non-Christian, my difference becomes something that becomes impactful on their life or becomes an influence or inspires somebody. Hey, something is not right with this. I just want to know more. Make a difference. Do you know the cry of the heart of God is that we be different? Be different from the world, but be like Him. I like Sean is going to preach to next week. The reality, the gospel has lost its reality today. It has become abstract in our minds. We don't believe it, actually, I tell you. If you believe it, your life must change. It is just abstract knowledge, not reality. Does somebody see the gospel in you? Does somebody? I like worship. No, worship is a. I wish to be a worship leader. I know God says He grants you the desire of your heart. Isn't that true? Maybe I won't be here, but maybe up there I'll be the worship leader. Huh? Hallelujah. I always dream of that. I don't know why. And then when I sing, my kids say, Daddy, you just killed the song. But you know, I want to be different. I cry and I crave, not in look, but just give me one area, one iota of that life of mine to be different. That different may spring forth into another life. But you know, then I looked at it, in order to have that difference, I need to have the anointing of God. Billy Graham was anointed of God. Joshua was anointed of God. Moses was an anointed servant of God. All those that were willing to be different, God anointed them. And that different cost them their life. You know why we don't want to be different? Because we're so comfortable. Don't rock the boat. If you be different, maybe I might lose my friends. I might lose this. Maybe things will go wrong. Let's just stay comfortable. Don't be different. Don't tell the office I'm a Christian. Just be like a non-Christian. Don't tell them what the morals are. Just be like them. Don't stand for justice. Just pray in my little closet. Lord, I pray for justice in the office. This, I took this portion. It may not seem anything to you about anointing, but in the days of old, those that were set apart had a different garment. You know, we are now modern day Christians or first a New Testament. We put on the garments of praise. What is your garment of praise? Your worship. Amen? You don't. There's no shirt out there. Maybe I should start a shirt business. Garments of praise. Come all Christians, buy this, and then when you wear, you walk on the road, you go praising the Lord. But you know, in the days of old, when they were set apart to be different, God assigned special garments for them that the world could see and differentiate. This were set apart by God. But we live in modern days. We live in the New Testament. The presence of God is our difference. Remember Moses said, Lord, if you don't go with us, we won't go. Because who would know us except you go with us? Amen? I want to major this morning on the importance of anointing in our life. It's not one time. It's all the time. To be there different. Because to be different, it's a costly shift. It's not, I won't say a move. It's just a shift. Just a slight shift to be different. Maybe move it just 0.111, 0.0001 degree and you will change. Is to be different. Abba, Father, this morning we sit in the presence of a God whose cry and desire is that we be like you, Lord. What resonates in our heart, Lord? The desires you have planted, Lord. But our one desire is, Lord, make us like you. Make us like you, different from the world. You came and you were different, Lord. At a very young age, your life was different, Lord. Your desires were different. Your hunger was different. Your purposes were different. You made a difference that resonates right down the centuries, Lord. May our lives just catch a glimpse of it, Lord. May we just catch a glimpse, Lord. May that difference rub into us today, Lord. That we may be different for you, for your sake, Lord. Bless us this morning. I ask for your anointing, Lord. It's not the words of men, Lord. It's not the animation, Lord. But it's the anointing that will make us different, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. You know, oftentimes I've heard people say this, wow, this morning's worship was anointed. Oh, this morning our prayer time was anointed. Oh, this morning Pastor Miso is anointed. Have you heard statements like that? Have you heard that? And then sometimes we say it flippantly without understanding the implications. Have you sat down and said, before I said that, what made the difference? What was the difference? Don't get confused between giftedness and anointing. There's a difference. Giftedness, don't need anointing, can perform. Please worship me. I'm not against you. I love you guys. Chris, you guys are good. You guys did worship. But I want to let you know, giftedness has got nothing to do with anointed. In order for that giftedness to be good and really good is when God anoint that giftedness, amen? And you sing for the Lord. Today, giftedness is more about performance. Listen, a lot of musicians out there in the world who made it came from a church. They were gifted with the songs and the gift of worship. And suddenly they sold that giftedness for fame. They walked away. If you use your giftedness with that anointing, you actually sell that giftedness to the Lord and say, Lord, I serve you all through this gift. Amen? What's your giftedness? What's your anointing? But this morning, I won't stray to giftedness. I'll put that aside. I want to do on anointing. God's favor. Anointing is God's favor. Let me tell you, God's favor upon you is not... God's favor is always on you, but we can lose it when we become arrogant or we abuse. Huh? So daily pray this, Lord, have favor on me every day. When I go to office, when I deal with people, your favor, meaning your anointing, your presence with me will change the whole office scene. Amen? That's what God calls us to be. To be that different in that office, in the world where gossip is going on, where vulgarity permeates, where evil is ruling the day. Your presence is not to stabilize, but to make a difference. Amen? God wants us to be. You know, we are going into the end times. The church has lost many, many good ones. You know, anointing. We live in a time, we no longer live in times of anointing. We've gone into times of substitutes. We substituted anointing with performance. That's why just now Sean prayed, said, why people go to drugs is they look for substitutes. If this can't work, try that lah. That cannot try this one again. Try. What? This one working, eh? No substitute. Anointing is not a substitute in your life. God's anointing. Amen? Don't try to fake it. And I sit down in church sometimes, I watch, and then I talk to the guy at the end. When I sense something is fake, I'll ask the person. And then when I realize that sometimes we try to fake an anointing, don't fake, friend. One day I was in church in my early days, we came here, and this worship leader was just on the keyboard. One man, he played and he sang. Suddenly the word, the anointing of God came in the church. The pastor was on his knees. We didn't have service. We didn't pray. No preaching. Does worship just, well, God just zapped the church. Man, I tell you, people were on their knees praying, weeping. Nothing. He just sang the normal song I could sing at home. Yes. Maybe I could sing better. No. His was good. But just that anointing, one Sunday only, came. The pastor who was supposed to preach was on his knees at all. He didn't even stand up on the... He couldn't. The Spirit of God was so heavy there that all we could do was kneel down. That is not fake. That's a real anointing. Lives were touched. Lives were changed. People went to ministry. When the anointing comes, it comes with one purpose. It wants to make a difference. It wants to show the world the difference that what God can do. Amen? Not about what I can do, but it's about anointing. Do you cry for anointing every day? No point taking oil and putting on your head, pouring on your head. It doesn't. Ask for the oil of anointing that touches your inner man. That flows inside. From inside out, the glory of anointing must flow. Amen? It's not from external. But I want us to pray as a church, as we walked into 2019, this is going to be a test year for many of us. We don't know what our lives behold. We don't know what our nation beholds. We got elections coming. We got things happening. We got a lot of things going out beyond our control. All we pray is, Lord, anoint us, that we may be your light and your salt as the days draw close. Amen? All right, can I have the next slide, please? What is anointing, the definition? This is not mine. I abstracted this, so don't think I'm not a smart guy. This is from the Bible also. The Bible is a smart guy, right? He says, anointing speaks about relationships, pouring, outpouring, spreading, rubbing of oil. There are many forms we call anointing. Eh? But anointing, I looked at this, has these five aspects. One, it's consecration. When you consecrate somebody, you anoint. Amen? We do baby dedications. We anoint is to consecrate. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, he said, gather the people by the river, consecrate them, for tomorrow God will do the miracles. Anointing is preparation for what God is going to do through your life. Amen? Or for your life. Amen? It's consecration. Then it's also hospitality. Hey, hospitality is an anointing thing, eh? Serious, friend. It's not about food. I didn't say eating. I said hospitality. Because he said, you do not know, you may be entertaining angels. It's an anointing. God uses hospitality to reach out. Rahab, the prostitute, eh? You know or not? The Bible talks about prostitutes also, eh? How God used her to entertain two spies. Hospitality. Hey, church, don't look at hospitality as insignificant. It is something of anointing. You can use your giftedness cooking. You can use your giftedness eating. Just serving. Hallelujah. Serving. Hospitality is service. You know, I served the church 8 years as an usher. 8 years. From the time I got saved, 8 years I was an usher. Teochew service. All the services. That's how my wife and I'm the usher. I love shaking hands. One day I shook a lady's hand, the wrist came off. But there was an accident. I get excited. I'm an excited person. And then she said, oh yeah, my hand break. I said, why break? That's actually dislocated. She said, break. Huh? For 8 years, I love doing ushering. You know why? I love talking to people. You know, and people will look, hey, Pastor Mitchell, sometimes they tell me, hey, how come you were not at the door? I made a difference. When I was not there, my absence left a difference. They say, hey, we didn't see you today at the door. And I thought, wow, that's what hospitality is. You become something that people long when they come, they want to see that. Hospitality, it also can be used for healing. We all know that. The anointing of the Lord, the oil of the Lord, the oil of anointing for healing, restoration, for strengthening of your body, for deliverances. Use that oil. It anoints the sacred oil. Then we also have it for burial. I don't know, today people do it, but in the days of old, before they embalmed that, they would anoint the body. It was almost a religious part of the funeral. They anoint the body because it's like for them in the Old Testament, it was the body goes back to the Maker. It's going back to the Maker, so they want to anoint you, keep you ready and clean to go back home. Then lastly, we can also use it for Jesus, the promised deliverer. Remember in John also, he talks about it. Jesus is the anointed one. Amen? You and I cannot say we are anointed one, but we are anointed to be the one. Only one person is the anointed one, but we can be anointed to be one of those that God is going to use today. Amen? Make sense? Okay. I don't know about you, but do you get excited when you hear about Jesus? But I am an excited person because I love the Lord. Two, I am a saved, born again. I was not born as a Christian. I'm a saved one. I know what was darkness, and now I know what is light. And my heart's cry is, Lord, keep me excited in the light, lest I go back to darkness. When you feel excitement dies off, you go back to your subculture, darkness. Keep excited. Keep being excited in the Lord. Amen? Whatever you go through, the joy of the Lord is the strength of my heart. Amen? Keep being excited. The Lord is a good God. He deserves the excitement. Don't channel your excitement out there. God wants us to be anointed. God is going to anoint us. The cry of the Gospels is this. God wants to anoint His people. Daily, He's pouring out His anointing on people. He says, I pour new wine into new wineskins. Amen? I love wine, huh? I was made to be a wineskin. Hallelujah. Oh, Chris got it, man. Hallelujah. But I love the anointing of God. I crave. Sometimes I sit down and in my quiet, I feel God is speaking. The presence of God is an anointing on your life. I visit you. My visitation is a powerful visitation. When I walk through the doors of your house, it changes. When I walk through the doors of your life, it changes. When I walk through the doors of your relationship, it changes. When I walk through the doors of all that you do, it changes. Because you know why? I bring the difference. Amen. Otherwise, you go on your Christian life mundane, motionless, meaningless, and you get tired. And I hear Christians say, there is nothing, nothing. You know why? You have lost that anointing. You have lost it. The day your anointing is with you, every morning is a brand new excitement. Every day you open your eyes, your spirit lives in you. It's a new day, a new opportunity. God is going to do something new in your life. You're going to be His representative out there. Because why? His anointing is with you. Amen? I want to show you a few anointings in the Bible. Next one. Look at it. The believer's anointing. They call it the believer's. John, this is not mine. I took from the Bible. I copied. All right? John says, but the anointing that you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about everything, and it is true. You know what is His anointing? The Holy Spirit. Amen? Today, in the modern day, the New Testament people, we have what we call Holy Spirit. In the days of the Old Testament, they didn't know about the Holy Spirit. Remember? Jesus is the one who said, when I go, He said, before I go, I leave you a comforter, a paraclete. That means somebody that will stay close to you and He will lead you into all truth. He is the Holy Ghost. Don't use the word ghost. People get frightened. Huh? Holy Spirit better. Huh? I remember one day I said ghost and the guy asked me, hey, got bad ghosts? Huh? I said spirit also got bad spirits. Huh? But the Holy Spirit. The reason that Holy Spirit came is a secured investment of God to let you know you have been anointed. Remember the Holy Ghost? That I know if His Spirit is with me, He is with me. That's a believer. So there's a believer's anointing. Each one of you, the day you became a Christian, God deposited that Spirit in you. Amen? Take care. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Take care. Be careful. You know, I just heard something. I went to visit my brother in Perth. My brother spent 20 years in the Middle East. He pastored a church about 40,000 in Basra. And he shared with us, he said, many times when he talked to the Muslim scholars or the mullahs, you know, the one who had the big head, the mullah, M-U-L-L-A-H, mullah, big head, huh? And talk about the Holy Spirit. And he asked them, how come you guys are mullahs, you can commit sin? You know what they would say? Our God cannot see through the concrete wall. Serious? They said, you can do any sin in the house because God, Allah, cannot see through the walls. I said, wow, that's an amazing one, man. I said, our God can see through the wall and walk through the wall. Because they don't believe in it. So they believe, don't do sin in public. In public, they will pray, they do sin. So God cannot see. I said, our God got the Holy Spirit. He can see anything. Then I realized how blinded they are. What kind of a God who can't see through the wall? Then He's just like me. I also can't see through the wall. But our God, God gave us the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is a conscience in you. You've done wrong. You violated my love. You broke my heart. You're breaking my heart. You're causing yourself. He's a constant anointing to remind you that you are loved. That is what we call the believer's anointing. The next one, we have one more called the anointing of oil. You know, I carry with me a bottle of oil. I always pray for people. Say, I use oil. There's no power in the oil, but there's symbolicness. The oil of healing. In Exodus, he said, you shall take the anointing and pour it on his head and anoint. You anoint somebody. There's spiritual anointing. I can pray for an anointing. And there's a physical anointing where I take oil and put on your head. Anointing. When somebody is sick, besides communion, take the oil of anointing. Amen? Because God has ordained us to use that. Next one, the Lord's anointing. I love this one. This is my favorite. For it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to proclaim. Even to preach the gospel, the proclamation, requires anointing. Otherwise, it becomes just mere teaching, mere sharing, mere... No, the Word of God needs to be anointed. The speaker of God needs to be anointed. And because there is anointing, the Word becomes alive. Alive! No more dead. Before you share the gospel with someone, pray. Ask God's anointing. Before you pray for somebody, ask God, anoint me, Lord. I don't want to articulate mere words. I mean, we all are smart people, especially with an Asian church. Very smart people. They were born with intelligence. They're so smart. They know how to articulate. But more than smartness, we want the Spirit of God. Even to proclaim, when you want to share, pray, God, because I want that word to be alive in him. Not in his ear, but in his heart. Sometimes when we preach without anointing, it goes in and come out. And it come out twisted. How many of you ever shot a revolver? I used to be an instructor in the academy. I teach. Every bullet doesn't come out straight. It gathers this way, momentum. And some of the high-powered rifles, when they hit your body, it twists and take out. The front is a small hole. The back is big because it rips all your things and take it out. That's how. And if you look at the theory, if you just listen to the Word of God without anointing, it rips about a lot of things out of your life and you begin to question more. But when there's anointing, God zaps you straight on the spot. The word, simple word, can arrest a heart, arrest a life, because the Word is anointed. Amen? God's anointing is on us. Right, next one. And James. How many of you sick? It says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. In the name of Jesus. Amen? Anointing. You know why God wants us to do all this? Let me tell you. He wants the world to see what we are doing. And then they can see the difference. We live in a generation that show me, don't tell me. Sure? What generation do you call this? What is this generation? X, Y, Z. What they call you all? What millennial? What? I know it's millennial. What? X, Y? J, Y? I know it's the millennium we are in. But what? You know, this generation is a generation that has everything at their fingertip. Information? Google. God don't know. I've heard people say, Pastor Mitchell, the Bible can't find. You go on Google. Google can find. I said, how can? Google outsmarts God. So intelligent. They got everything. And therefore, listen, this is a very powerful statement. In their knowledge and understanding of everything, there is a greater quest for the truth. Because the fake news has come out and adulterated the truth, and it amplifies the lies. That's what fake news does. It adulterates the truth, but it amplifies the lies. And suddenly cause confusion. And in that, there's a greater quest to know the truth. This generation is hungry for the Lord. What we can do is God anoint us to be something they can see. You know, it's very hard to engage. I engage this generation. They're very into factual. How can you believe Pastor Miso dead can rise? I said, why? I said, the Bible say, how can you believe the Bible? And I asked the engineering student, how can you believe this manual? He said, but they tested before. I said, they also tested. They raised the dead. Lazarus rose. It's all based on facts. So, in order to combat this, you and I need to be different. We need to be the living fact of God. Amen? Like Auntie Anne's testimony, we shared with many people that you know, you saw, you diagnosed, but God made that difference. And that difference become our facts of the goodness and the anointing of God that your life can. The anointing brings that authority. Amen? When you share, hallelujah, it's based on God's word, my experience, my life, my journey. Just how Graham spoke very beautifully about prayer. I love that thing. You know, how many of us wake up, I want to pray, but then we don't pray. We always, what they call it, spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We got a lot of things here, but tomorrow. We are the tomorrow people. Tomorrow. And then when we get a crisis, I say, better start now. The anointing of the sick. You know, God, friend, let me tell you, God allowed sicknesses because, listen, friend, because we are fallen men. We are fallen. God, you know, James says God never tempts, but God allows things in our life. So death, there's an opportunity for God to reveal His glory. Amen? Think about it. You will never experience light if there's no darkness. And God is there. God is the one that allows us to have all this. God is allowing us to see that there is sicknesses in the world. There is things that you and I have to go through. Next one. How many of you want to be glad? Gladness. You have loved righteousness and hated. Therefore, God, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness. Wow. Hey, let me tell you. To be glad is an anointing. To be glad. How many of you are sad? Turn the sadness into gladness. We smile, but inside of us, many of us are broken and sad. So sad. Sometimes we fake that smile because deep inside we are sad. There's no gladness of heart. There's no gladness of being a Christian. There's no gladness in serving God. There's no gladness in ministry. There's no gladness at all. Our lives are empty and sad. He says, anoint the oil of gladness. Are you glad that you are here this morning? Whatever you go through life, thank God that is the oil of gladness that will allow you to ride that storm. Sadness is from the enemy. The enemy brings sadness to destroy you, to tear you down. But God wants to pour an oil of gladness into your life. Be glad. Rejoice. In all things, rejoice. Amen? Rejoice. Cry, but rejoice. Weep, but rejoice in your weeping. If you are sad, let that oil of anointing heal you. Bring glad. There's a lot of families that are based on the age. They got so many things at home that they fight and they quarrel. And they try to look for solutions. Life solution is one that they look for. Do you know, friend, I tell you, I worked as a counselor in the drug. I tell you, drug is just one portion of the problem. That's not the root problem. That's a byproduct of the root. The root problems, when you sit down with people, it brings the shivers into you. Some of it have historical sadness in their life. It's from generation to generation of sadness and destruction and pain and hatred. That even to pray is so hard. You need the anointing of God to bring gladness into that life. Gladness. You know, I'm not talking about sorrow. Sorrow, there's good sorrow and bad sorrow. But God is talking of gladness. Gladness is a posture of your heart before God. Whatever is going, I rejoice. Whatever my life has lost, Job lost everything, yet he rejoiced. He said, blessed be the Lord, for God give, God can take. Can you have a heart of gladness in a situation like that? Because his heart was glad. He knew his God. He had the anointing of God in his life. The oil of gladness. Some of you go to work with heavy hearts. You wish you didn't want to work, but you have to work because you need the money. Some of you wish you didn't wake up this morning because life is so hard, but then God kicked you out of the bed. Yes. Some of you wish you could strangle some of your kids because of the way going on. Yes, I tell you, we laugh. There are things not articulating in our heart. But the Lord said, let me give you gladness. Gladness. You know, think about this. The job that you are grumbling, there are about 1 billion people out there who take that job. The life that you are complaining today, there are millions of people who would give anything for your life. Can you see the contrast there? Gladness. Be glad. Be glad with what God gives you. Amen? Be glad with your kids. I love my kids. Yeah, they give you a bit of a nightmare. Which kid doesn't give you a nightmare? You wish it was all just plain dreaming. Eh? No, nightmares come. Nightmares are good. It keeps you alert. Eh? For that matter, who of us, husband and wife? Sometimes we have our moments. Eh? But I'm glad I've got a good wife. Amen? I'm a good husband, actually. I have to tell you, if not, you won't know. So I have to tell. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you the truth. Huh? I'm a good husband. I try to do the best I can as a husband. I'm not a magician, but I'm a husband. All right? I'll do whatever God gives me in my own strength to do. I enjoy the journey. Amen? You want gladness, is enjoy your journey. And you find joy in life, right? Next one. This one is the anointing I want to share with you before I close. Touch not the anointed. You know, today, I look at I'm on the Christian network of Christian news, and I look at churches and councils and elders and deacons and leadership challenging and bringing down pastors because it tells me one thing, they have no fear of God. How many of you never made a mistake in life? How many of you never slipped up in your walk? You know, we always have blind spots in our life. But today, some have just picked on ministers who have slight fall and they bring you down. Do you know David? Do you know David? David is an adulteress. Do you know David? David committed sin. Do you know good old Abraham? He lied. What did Moses do? He whacked somebody dead. He was like a Rocky One, huh? He whacked somebody dead. But you know, be careful. We have come to a generation where the tall poppy syndrome is so real. We want to cut somebody down. We think we have the God-ordained authority to tear people down, especially pastors. We don't exercise a little grace. Grace is not there. People smear. People assassinate character, assassinate someone. But if you remember, church, even the enemy, when he touches you, he's touching God's anointed. You're God's anointed. Watch the anointing. Watch the anointing. He said, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their accounts. Said, touch not my anointed one. Don't allow people. You know, I have this in me. I can joke and laugh. But my church, you know, if ever they are rude to my wife, I come down like 10 tons of bricks on them. Honestly, my people frightened. Sometimes I say, Pastor Minso, we haven't seen that side of you. I said, don't press the wrong button. Because I don't abuse anyone in church. And I'd want people to respect my wife. You respect her because she's my wife. I can deal with you. But I think we need to learn this church that God put us in position. We are not perfect, man. I wish I were. Then my hair will come back. Wow. Nice and long. Beautiful. Pass my call. Hey, Sira, you think I was born this way? Come on, man, guys. I will go back and I will make it ambition to find one of my photographs and you see my hair. I tell you, Gemma, you look at my hair better than yours. It was nice and flowing. But you know, friend, listen, we all have shortcomings. God Allah. But I want you to know, don't touch these things. Don't touch with the bare hands. Because in the Old Testament, if you touch the Ark of the Covenant with your hand, you die. That's the anointing of God. You die in there. What I'm saying is, people make me say, you want a deal? Approach well. Approach with grace. Approach with love. Approach with a heart to correct and rebuke, but not to destroy, to tear. Don't do that. I've got friends who have been torn down, and I feel sorry for them. All because of a simple, simple, simple mistake. If you do that to your minister, the Bible says, if you judge someone that way, God will judge you likewise. And I want you to know, church, you are anointed this morning. And don't let the enemy take you down. Don't let. You know, there are a few hindrances I want to tell you, which I didn't put. 4 hindrances that want to take down your anointing is, one, Satan wants to take your anointing away. Because when you have the anointing, he can't stand before you. He can't torment you. He wants Satan. 2, self, you yourself destroy your own anointing. You alone, the self-destructive person that destroys every anointing God gave you. 3, sin that is in your life becomes a grabber and destroyer of all your anointing. Be careful. Lastly, is your service. Sometimes your service to God suddenly becomes the God of yourself. You become God. And that service robs you. You don't need his anointing. I can do now. I can. No, you can't. He. I can. No, you can't. It's he. But that ego becomes so big, like a monster and a demon, that it kills your anointing. How many of you know this guy called Lucifer? Don't name your baby Lucifer. He had the giftedness of a worship leader. But what did he do? He took that giftedness, that service, and said, I'll be better than God. I'll show him who is a good worship one. What did God do? He just pulled the plug. From Lucifer, he became an Asian, Satan. He chose a nice name. Eh? Watch it, friend. Watch these four S's. All right. Now, before I close, I want to tell you why God wants us as a church to be anointed. Number one, in order to pursue God, you need His anointing. How many of you believe that? I want to keep with the pace of God. I need anointing. I want to be with God, but that I'm falling behind. I'm falling behind. God, anoint me that I can pursue you. Otherwise, I'll chase the world. I'm chasing the world. Ecclesiastes in the first six chapters say, you chase the wind. You chase elusive things you cannot catch. Stop chasing. Chase God. I want Lord, anoint me that my pursuit after you will be strong. And I'll be active, Lord, chasing after you. Pursue God. Church, chase God. Just as you chase a lover, chase God with all your heart. He's the lover of your soul. He's the lover of your destiny. Amen? Pursue God. You want to pursue God. Jeremiah says, seek me, find me. Go, keep looking for me. Keep pursuing me. But Lord, I'm weak. Can you see what God is doing? He's strengthening you to look to get Him. Amen? That you may pursue God. Church, pursue God every day. Pursue God. Huh? All right? Number two, it's all Bible, nothing of my own. I'm just using all the Bible verses. Next one, it says, pray earnestly, pray. Man, church, in all things you pray to God, pray. Pray without ceasing. Let me tell you, this is the danger. We are living under still a lot of rules. Prayer is not formulated. Prayer is what you're in your heart, amen? Just tell God, how many of you prepare a paper to talk to your girlfriend? When I see her, I'm going to say this. If she said that, I'll say this. Or you just go there, whatever, suit lah. Right or wrong? If wrong, sorry. Eh? God wants you to talk to Him. What's in your heart? What do you want? What is you need? What do you need? What can I do for you? How are you? Just talk to me. And don't only come to me when you have need. I'm not a God that's an ATM. Put your hand, press the right number. No. I'm a God that loves you. You know, I don't know about you, but if you have your kid talk to you only when he needs money, it's a very sad thing. Or when the parent talk to the kid because I want good results, that's the only thing I demand. But how about talking? Communicate. Pray earnestly. He said, if my people, you know, that prayer is not for non-Christians, it's for you and I. He said, if you are my people, what is my people? Born again, Christian, child of God. He said, if you will pray. That means, you know what he's implying? Some of you not praying. Can I interpret that? If I'm wrong, don't stone me. You stone the Bible. He said, if you pray, call my name, humble yourself. You know, to pray is to humble yourself. You know, like I tell you, when Anne was sick, to get help, sometimes we have to eat humble pie, to go to people, and then some people snap you, never mind. After that, you hear the gossip go around behind. Wow, I didn't ask that. I only asked for this help. Or some people outright, oh, Pastor Mitchell, sorry, you're not of our church. We can't help you. It's okay, but we humble to us. But if you humble before God, He won't hurt you. He won't turn you away. He won't go and gossip to the angels. Hey, this bloke came and asked me. He don't gossip. And I tell you, that's the hurting part. But ask God. God, we need this. Humbly ask God. Then I will hear. He will hear from heaven. He has the best Wi-Fi. He doesn't have any router. You know, plug-in. He's just all the time Wi-Fi. Even concrete wall, he can go through. The Wi-Fi can go through. He's the Wi-Fi. Ask Him. Don't ask me. Ask Him. Pray. Pray for courage to stand, to be different. When you want to stand, pray for courage. Lord, give me courage. Give me courage, Lord. Joshua asked for it. Then the Lord said, be bold, be strong, be courageous. Why? Because I am with you. The anointing of me is with you. You'll be bold, right? Pray. Pray with all your heart. Put on the full armor of God. I like that. Oh, cheer, transformer. Eh? I went and took out the photo of Bumblebee. You said I want transformer, Bumblebee, right? Who? You haven't seen my photo, Bumblebee? He said, Transformer. But put on the armor of God. Every day you're under attack. Next one, the reason why is to purify your heart. You know, what did Jeremiah say? Who knows the heart of man? The heart is so deceitful. Lord, purify my heart with anointing. Pour the oil of anointing. Purify my heart that I can live a holy life, that I can come before you, Lord, that I can do the things I want because my heart is purified. Give me a pure heart and clean hands as I serve you, Lord. That when I look at somebody, I look with purity in heart. When I pray for somebody, I pray with purity of heart. When I listen to somebody struggle, I cry with purity of heart. There's no deceit, but just purity of heart, Lord. Do you know that God has a pure heart to us? He sent Jesus. He loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. Purify your heart daily. Purify your heart, Lord. You know, sometimes you come back from office, you bring a lot of hurts home, and you can't sleep because you want to settle the score. One day, I had this in Teen Challenge. Somebody crossed me real bad. I tell you, I didn't sleep. I marched in my house, you know. It went days, huh? I said, this guy doesn't know who he's dealing with. Honestly, these are the words I articulated. Man, nobody crosses yours truly, yeah? Especially in this. I said, when I see him, I'm going to do that. I had planned a whole battle attack. If this didn't work, I had alternative. Maybe this will work. On the day I went to office after 5 days, and I walked to office, the first knock on my door was this guy. And he said, Pastor Miso, I want to tell you. He said, I'm really sorry. For the last 5 days, God, the torment in my heart was so pain. He said, I'm sorry what I did to you. Tell me what you want me to do, I'll do. And suddenly all my battle plans. And then I hugged him and I cried. I said, sorry. I said, I came here with a heart of confrontation. And he said, Pastor, I'll never do it to you again. He said, I know it was wrong. I don't know what took over, what I said. He said, please, please forgive me. I'll go publicly on the pulpit. And I said, and I thought, 5 days, this stupid CPU was working overtime. Overtime! Yeah, that's right. And I said, you know, then I realized the heart, when your heart is troubled, it troubles your whole body. And I sat down and I cried and I really hugged him. And I said, sorry. And he's one of those that I led from drugs out into, you know, and this is a fruit of my own labor. And I thought, God, purify my heart. Little sediments drop into your heart. Over time, multiplies. It becomes anger. Anger becomes bitterness. Bitterness raises up to rage. Just purify your hearts. Amen, church? Love you guys. Try not to keep hatred for one another. Huh? Lastly, the reason I ask that God anoint our heart, that we can proclaim His gospel. That's our life, to let the world know Jesus loves them. To proclaim the gospel, the good news that God can save, God can heal, God will deliver, God is the lover, God will take care, God is there. Just to proclaim, Lord, the good news. Jesus came to proclaim good news. You know, I was telling the church, when I grew up, growing up time, I only knew two kind of news. Good news, bad news. Every time you ask people, shall I tell you? They said, which one? First, good or bad news? Today, the third one, fake news. This one is the most frightening one. You need discernment to know whether this is true or false. And the fake news always comes across as true. Isn't that true? The enemy will come with the angel of light, so you believe him, but actually he's a liar. So just pray, God, give me the anointing. I can preach the good news. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus is going to save you. Jesus will heal your family. He will take care of your mom and dad. The proclamation of the good news under the anointing of the Lord will bring healing. It will bring recovery. It will bring breakthrough. It will bring salvation and hope. Because why? You're preaching His news. Amen? God never lies. Church, pray for that anointing. Let's pray. Just stand with me.